overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That he made a way, Lord, you made a way, Lord, that we would never, ever be separated from your glory. That we are never, ever separated from your love, Lord. Lord, you made a way. You made a way, Lord, for us to come into the Holy of Holies, to stand before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You made a way, Lord. You made a way. You made a way. In your holiness, in your goodness, Lord. You made a way. You made a way. You've made a way, Lord, for me. You've made a way for me, Lord. For me. For me. It's for me, Lord. It's for me. It's for me. It's for me. It's for me, Lord. You made the way. You made the way, Lord. Oh. You made the way. You made the way. And now I get to stand before your holiness. I get to gaze upon your face, Lord. I get to see and experience the glory. I get to carry the glory of God. I get to stand before the King that makes the earth shake and mountains melt like wax. And I get to stand before you, Lord, in all of your glory. In all of your majesty, you've made a way.
Now what do you want to do? Thank you, Jamie. I love it. I love the freedom in this house. Yeah, thank you. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Last night before I went to sleep, I was laying in bed after the phenomenal night here with the Holy Ghost premiere film. Well, it wasn't premiere, it was the film after. Premiere day. And the Lord was speaking to me so clearly. He wouldn't let me go to sleep without this word about being thankful. About being grateful. It was so strong. So I'm reading all these scriptures and laughing. And he's speaking to me to actually speak that out to him, not just go, yeah, I really am and think it, but to speak to him more and more and more. So I just exhort you to do that. Lord, thank you that I can wake up today. Thank you that I can open my eyes today. Thank you I can breathe because you've enabled me to breathe. Thank you, Lord. And start thanking him throughout the day verbally. Thank you, Lord. Be in a state of constant thanksgiving and praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you see me through. Thank you that you're my healer for this back issue or whatever it would be. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, because you see the bigger picture. Thank you, Lord, that you know what to do. You know, when we're thankful and grateful people and we express that, it makes it really hard to grumble and complain. I mean, you can't. You can't do this. You can't do it. It's like, what? But nevertheless, so obviously God doesn't like that. He doesn't like grumbling, complaining, gossiping, and secret speakings, all that kind of stuff. He hates it. But he loves Thanksgiving. Loves Thanksgiving. So, Lord, we thank you again for the cross, for the burial, for the resurrection, Lord, which led into this celebration, Lord, that just plastered your big, joyous smile deeper and deeper on our hearts. So we just thank you, Lord. We just praise you. Praise you for the details. We praise you for the process. We praise you for the outcome. We thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that as we present ourselves to you and as we present our prayers, our supplications with to you with thanksgiving in a place of rejoicing, then you guard our hearts and our minds, Christ Jesus. So Lord, I thank you that in the battlefield of the mind, when we don't hide and we come to you and express gratitude, things will go better for us all because you know what to do. You're so good. So, Father, let this be a declaration today that Jamie and the team were leading, that you wouldn't even let me sleep last night without that just being hammered over and over. And I'm laying in bed laughing, like, okay, I think I get it. But, Lord, I think that you're wanting all of us to get it more and more and more and to express to you how grateful we are for the littlest things. Because when we're grateful for the little, and it's hard to grumble, complain, take offense, very hard, because we're so thankful and grateful. So we thank you, Lord, for that, that place, that state where we can see as you see, hear as you hear. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this place. Thank you for the place you have in us. Thank you for this amazing group of people who are just crazy enough to say, what do you want to do next? So we thank you for that. We praise you, Lord. Praise you. We really praise you. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Wow. When we're thankful, really, do you know that that place of thanksgiving will be backed up? It will move us into repentance. It's not enough to say, thank you for my parents. It will move us into repenting to God and to our parents. Or whatever it would be. God's so smart. He doesn't just want us to feel good on the inside. He wants us to be cleansed. He wants us to be free on the inside. Yeah. So may I exhort you today to continue in that state. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that I have eyes to see when I make those chocolate chip cookies. When the dogs are all over my heels. I don't have dogs. Or whatever it would be. Thank you, Lord. Or whatever it would be. And you can think of what it is. It would just continue. And no, we didn't talk about this, so I have no idea what he's doing. We never do. But Andy's going to share as he's getting his props stuff. Not props. What do you call it? Demonstration things. Whatever. Andy's got something to share.
Convention last night, too.
I wouldn't say it's funny. I would say it's Holy Spirit, what he's doing here this morning. And I just pulled up a scripture to look at randomly in my phone, and there was a little note that I had next to it. And this is from Mark 6:31. And I just wrote this little note, and it says, the Lord wants to change our opinions about things. It says, focus on the good, and the bad will just take care of itself. And then this line totally convicted me this morning. If you can't see the good, you might have a problem. Thank you, Lord, for that dagger in my heart. Because if you can't see the good, you might have a problem. That's Mark 6:31, but... Well, no, that's a note that I wrote myself as far as what Mark 31 says. But actually, Mark 6:31 says, and he said to them, as for you, come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For many were, I mean, I don't even know how that relates, but I just came across that note that I had marked on that verse, just that the Lord is calling us to see and to recognize the good, to call it out, to affirm it. And I mean, I know I get up here and I share about First Friday, and many of you guys have heard me share about it multiple times. But I believe that, like, this last Friday night, there was such an incredible shift of receptivity with people down there, sharing the gospel clearly, with no like, them kind of looking at you, what are you talking about? You know, it was the most natural conversation where the Lord was birthing in me his heart for people. And one of the things that was just so amazing is that there was this group of three guys that were sitting across from our booth, and they were just playing guitars on these camp chairs, and they were just going to town. But it wasn't overpowering. They just set up shop and did that. And I was sharing with some other individuals just off to the side about my testimony. And I had drew the guy a picture, but I had the picture in my hand for at least 40 minutes because I didn't give it to him because I was still sharing with him. No, not the guitars. But I got a text from Cynthia when I was you know, sharing with these other individuals and holding their picture, she's like, you should really try and connect. I'm feeling just a sense to really connect with those guys across the way. And the good thing was is that by the time I was done sharing with the three people just about my testimony and what Jesus has done in my life and how much he loves them, like, I'd kind of turn and the booth is like already kind of gone and everything is packed up. And but one of the sweet things was is that I invited this young man who goes to Akron who's studying criminal justice to come out to the Holy Ghost movie, and they were very interested. And so I reminded him yesterday, and he gave me his name and number, and I mean, I could talk forever about this. My wife's heard it. Other people have heard it where I just can't stop. But, well, you have there. Essentially, the Lord really highlighted to me this weekend the power of the testimony and the power of the testimony of each person in here's salvation story with Jesus. And I was able to share what Jesus had done in my life to these individuals, how he saved me from drugs, how he spoke to me when I was on drugs, how he spoke to me when I was in the and letting them know that Jesus is not waiting on the edge of heaven to smack you down with a rod of punishment and say, stop doing that. It's more that he loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you. But it was so cool how the Lord just gave this unique way of releasing my testimony to them to where they're just, you could tell, I mean, they sat there and listened to me talk for at least an hour, like solid. And they were going back and forth, but it wasn't like they were like, I got to go somewhere else or whatever. And here one of the young men actually brought his friend down to get a word. He brought his friend specifically to our booth because he's like, I have a picture that somebody drew for me. And I was like a lacrosse player and I had a stick and I was in front of a net. And he's like, I actually have that picture at home framed. I was like, what? And he's like, so I brought my friend down here, you know, because it's just been so much fun. And, you know, I want him to receive one. And so I was drawing him a picture, but then I, you know, was sharing Jesus with him. And then it got into my testimony and everything else. And he's like, I never really heard Jesus presented this way. Usually they come in Akron and they tell us that, like, we're going to go to hell if we don't receive Jesus. And I was like, well, he loves you. And, you know, I wasn't going to go into other things, but still presented Jesus to him. But actually, it's funny because they lied to me when they said, this guy's name is Alan. So I'm, like, drawing a picture for Alan and, like, halfway through. They're like, actually, we were just messing with you. His real name is Brandon. And I'm like, are you guys feeling so convicted that you just had to tell me the truth just through our conversation? And which, of course, they were just laughing at. But the funny part was I had a chance to share with them how when basically the conversion moment for me, I was like, the reason why I gave my life to Jesus is because he spoke my language. He knew where I was at. He specifically revealed himself to me. And we're down here to, you know, obviously reveal Jesus to you. And I shared with them about, you know, the turning point for me was when I just flipped open. I was freaking out and I flipped open my Bible and I pointed to some place. And it was in John, and I paraphrased, and I said, you know, Jesus, when basically Jesus is saying in this portion of Scripture in John that, and he was speaking this to me at my conversion point, he said, Andy, you'll meet a perfect stranger on the street, and they'll introduce themselves to you, they'll give you their name, and you'll believe where they come from. You just take it at face value. And he said, and I'm coming to you. Specifically me, Andy, and I'm letting you know I'm from God, I'm the way to God, I am God, and I want you to give me your life. You'll believe a complete and total perfect stranger, but you won't believe me who's speaking and saying all these things to you. So I was sharing this to that young man, and I was like, you know, how, you know, you meet somebody on the street, and they give you their name, and you just believe them at face value. But obviously, you lied to me and didn't give me your real name. So how it was just hilarious how they just, the Lord is just touching their heart. So I texted him about the movie because he said he was interested in everything else. So he sent me back this text because I said, you know, he gave me his number. And I said, you know, sometimes people have done that before, but then I call that number and it's like a fake made-up number. So I texted him yesterday, and he said, hey, what's going on, man? I invited him to the movie. He said, so I am busy tonight, and then in capital letters, but I was definitely very intrigued by our conversation and would be totally interested in having more religious-based conversations with you. That's why I gave you my name and my number. And then I, you know, shared some more things about it would be good to get together. And he's like, For real, man, I'm not trying to blow you off either. So next time you guys are having an event, let me know. It's like, actually, we are having an event. It's called Ruin, you know, on the September 21st. But, 19th. 19th to the 21st. The 21st of September is my dad's birthday, so that's what. But it was just so amazing just connecting with people right where they're at. And so that ended, and then we started talking to the guys across the way who were playing guitar. And at this time, there were no pictures because there was no more paper, and all they had was a Holy Ghost flyer. And we didn't have, none of us had a pen. And then this waitress came out from Napoli's, the pizza place, to take a break. And we're like, hey, can we borrow a pen? Because this one guy really wanted a picture. So, and somehow we had mentioned Tennessee, and here, like, she grew up, like, in a town, like, 5 minutes from where Nikki's grandpa grew up. And it was like, wow, Lord, that's hilarious. And so I drew this young man a picture, and it just blew him away. And then we were out of paper, so this other young man was like, well, I was like, well, I don't have a picture, but I can at least share with you how Jesus feels about you. Yeah, the guitarist, all three of them. Yes. But the main one, the one that was on Cynthia's heart, I gave the picture to. And then I just read this other guy's mail, and he's just like, how do you know that? What? You know, and it was so funny because then it was just, the Lord totally opened up the door through those gifts, the spiritual gifts, to engage people in conversation because Jesus is a friend of sinners. And they had three camp chairs and they were tired of standing and they're like, why don't you guys just sit down? And so just to be able to sit down, and it was just this amazing time of sharing Jesus and the power of the testimony and letting him know that, like, he really, really, really wants to know you. He really, really wants to be in relationship. And this one guy is a server at Outback. And I guess I'm sharing all of this morning at length because I believe that was a change and a shift from other times that we've been down there at First Friday. And I believe that the Lord is going to bring more people into our lives in this new season where the Lord's going to give us spiritual gifts to open up and unlock their heart to share Jesus with them because he's using us as a minister of reconciliation. And he's going, like any fear of going up and talking to anybody about Jesus was just gone. It was like, and then at the end of it, they're like, what's this about this movie? And obviously they didn't make it last night, and I was in a loving way hounding them because, you know, they expressed that they wanted to come. But I just definitely encourage you guys to really take advantage of the situations and circumstances you find yourself in, either with reaching out to people for Ruined or the next First Friday or even, you know, Relentless Pursuit. And just the Lord, the harvest fields are wide and they're ripe, and he's going to use the power of your testimony of what Jesus has authentically done in you. Because as I was sharing what Jesus has done in me, to these young people, it was authentic. It wasn't just, not in any way like negating scripture, because there were times where I quoted scripture to them, but it was, this is a genuine, authentic expression of Jesus in my life. And it was making Jesus famous, just sharing him with somebody else as far as, this is what he's done in me. And it was the most natural thing in the world. Supernatural, but feeling natural. So just to encourage you guys that things have changed. There's a shift. It's changed. I mean, Nikki called me in the midst of this, and I'm like talking on the phone, and this guy like shouts over, he's like, hey, I really like this guy. Like, to Nikki, he's not even there. And that's not a testament to me. That's just, they were feeling the love of Jesus. They were sensing and experiencing the love of Jesus because he is a friend of sinners. So that's what I have to say. It was awesome.
When you declare a shift like that, it's intended to spill onto all of us. And just one quick side note with that testimony, Andy, of the guys who were playing the guitar right across from our booth. It was mentioned to them, Andy doesn't know this, that there was a discussion dealing with their ability to play the guitar, just the natural way of getting in there. And the guy in the middle, particularly, who was highlighted, had a glow around him of glory. It could be seen in the spirit. And when the questions were asked about how he plays and how long he's played, he and his brother, the guy to the left, had been playing together 10 years. And then the brother, maybe an unbeliever, I don't know, the brother said, hey, he, the guy in the middle who was highlighted, he plays 5 instruments. And then it was like, wow, really? Isn't that amazing? And that opened up the discussion that God even used the person who he wants us all to minister to. Okay? That may have come later, I don't know. But so then the question was, so, wow, what do you play? And isn't it amazing that God has given you that ability? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And gosh, do you write music? Do you write songs? Yes. Oh my goodness, do you know what God wants to do with that? And there was just a natural inroad. So the Lord already knew that there was going to be this strong personal testimony that Andy was going to give up from his own life. He knew before that. He had it all set up, and he did it in a team way, team approach, using the gifts of the Spirit and the love that comes as a result of using those gifts. Isn't that beautiful? Second thing, very clearly, I feel that God is saying to us, from last night we watched Holy Ghost, and this place had a lot of different new people in it. It was really exciting. It's also being shown, it's free for the next, I don't know how many hours left, but when it initially was released yesterday, it was 48 hours. So if you're interested, see Carly, and she can tell you what you need to do if you want to watch it if you weren't there. If you weren't able to be there. But one thing that the Lord told me, I believe strongly, especially from the testimony here on this movie of going to Varanasi, India, which several of us have been on the team, were on the team that went in 1998. Who was with me then at that time? It was Troy and Christy and Josh. Anybody else? And my husband, yeah. And I've got an amazing team, and you know, these are the only ones in here right now, but there are others whom you know who were on that team. And I shared a testimony last night after this. I was stirred to share it, to really encourage everyone here that you can do this. What you saw last night was amazing, but what you've already stepped into yourself, many of you, you've already seen, and you've done, and you can do it. It's great that God highlights special evangelists and people, yes, yes, and yes. But the call in my heart was to say, you can do this. And many of you already have. And so we've been to Varanasi. We've seen salvation. We've seen healings. We've seen a lot of these things in a very dark place. But that's only one of many. So here's my call. I was talking to Andy about this morning. I said, Andy, we need a team. And we need help. And we need a team of people who would be willing to help us go back and find the testimonies that are buried of the prayer camp in Ghana, of the incredible healings and deliverances and salvations that we've seen. That's just one. And we were kind of jawing this morning, Andy and I, of the things that we've witnessed that are incredible. The legs that have grown out repeatedly. We've seen that. It's on video. And it's not for us. I mean, we can go get it excited and have a group party and go, wasn't that fun? But I believe God wants to release it here because he's done it. And I felt sad in my heart that some of this is in bits and pieces somewhere. And you've seen some of it, but some of it's buried. And there was a grieving in my heart where the Lord was saying, thank me for what I did when I showed up so many years ago. And I'm still doing that even in now. Recent times. So if you're interested in helping us dig out the gold that already God has released to be able to help others around the area here, especially step into doing what we're doing, maybe naturally, supernaturally, and we want to grow in that, please see Andy. It's very, very important because God has shown up for a long time, a long, long time. And he's doing new things, but maybe new to some people. And for you, if you've done this, some of you have seen creative miracles. You've been part of that. You've seen God stop people in the middle of the street and then bring almost 400 people to know Jesus using a blind woman in the middle of the street. You've seen crazy, crazy things. So we're going to say, God, forgive us for the little exposure for what you've done, and we're going to get it out. So we do need your help. So if you're interested in joining that force, we need help. God bless you. Children, you're released to Kingdom Land for the remainder of our time, whatever that is. It was very short last week, too, because the Lord said, I'm going to do something different. So it's going to be power-packed for the kids for the short time that we have left. Amen.
Okay, who would stand and pray right out for our time? Who would stand and pray right out for our time? Okay, Shannon, you'll have to come up to this area, though, so they can hear you really well. Yeah. It happens.
Pray for what's going to take place here in the next few minutes.
All right. So, since a lot of the time was used up due to Holy Spirit doing what he wants to do, I'm going to pray for an acceleration of what God wants to impart, to be imparted in the next 2 minutes, you said? Few. In the next? I was going to say, God can do it. Jesus can so do it. So I just thank you, Lord, that whatever is on your heart, whatever Pastor Bill's message prepared, that you would get your point across quickly and accurately and clearly, and we would all leave this place blessed and up another level in the kingdom. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. There we go. Okay. Everybody's feeling their oats around here. Kind of good. How many were at the movie last night? Cool. Look at that. They talked a lot about Holy Spirit. That's a good topic. How many are with me? We with me today? We've had good worship. Some really cool things shared already from First Friday and last night. So we want more, right? Tune in, right? So here's a book you might want, you know, just to add to your library. 1001 Things You Always Wanted to Know About the Holy Spirit. You know, after the movie, this would be good reading material. However, I noticed something in this book. Not much of it is about the Holy Spirit. As I look through this book, it's about people's responses to the Holy Spirit. It talks about people centuries ago, people right up in today's world, like Billy Graham and so on, and talks about their response to the Holy Spirit, what they knew about the Holy Spirit, what they taught about the Holy Spirit, all those types of things. So it may not be 100 or 1001 things you want to know about the Holy Spirit. It's more how people react to the Holy Spirit. People also reacted to Jesus when he was alive, and they react to him today. They react outside the church and inside the church to Jesus. Do you know that Jesus is called the Rock of Offense? A stumbling block? That's a bad thing, right? Normally, for us it's bad, for Jesus it's good. For Jesus it's good. Because he was giving out truth, he was truth himself, and people were stumbling over him. It wasn't good for the people, but Jesus was full truth, and people stumbled over him. It still happens today. It happens in the church. Because the Holy Spirit is inside believers, they still can they can hear from him. Obviously, we saw all the results of that with the film last night. Many of the people in this book responded properly to the Holy Spirit. Some did not. And it goes through, I'm sure, the ones that didn't, who were off in the teaching of the Holy Spirit, who were off in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be a stumbling block as well as an empowering person in our lives. That's what we want to just discuss today. Talk about it a little bit. Someone asked me this week. I went to breakfast. It was early. It was at one of my offices. Samantha's, if you need to know. They're open early. And I'm asking Holy Spirit on the way there, as I normally do when I'm going to meet with someone, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do today? How do you want me to conduct myself with this person? How can I help them? How can I bless them? How can I increase their life? If I meet with you for breakfast, you can be guaranteed that that prayer will be prayed or something like it on the way to that meeting. Because I don't just want to give out my experience. I don't want to just give out what I know about the Word of God. I want the special mix for you that the Holy Spirit has, if He has me to give you something. Or when you ask a question, that I wouldn't sit there and rely on my experience. I wouldn't even sit there and rely on what I know about the Word of God completely. I want to ask the Holy Spirit, what in the Word of God that I do know, what in my experience will be helpful in this answer? Holy Spirit, give me something fresh beyond my experience and the Word of God for this person, to edify them, to help them. It is not on my mind, gee, how can I tear apart this person? How can I control their life? Gee, I can't wait till we have this meeting so I can take them down the road of Bill. It's not in my heart at all. Never has been. There's no fruit in that. Nothing good comes out of that. So the question came early in the morning. What do you see is your greatest concern about our local body? Whoa. And the Holy Spirit drops in my heart what He's dropped in my heart for a long, long time. That people would hear the Holy Spirit and not just their mind, their will, their emotions. They wouldn't respond to the screaming flesh inside of them to do what they want to do, but rather they would really hear the Holy Spirit. And that's the same concern I have for the body of Christ. Probably my number one concern, because almost everything can be put under that, I'm sure, in one way or another. The film showed a lot of examples of people hearing the Holy Spirit, following Him. There are good examples probably in this book and poor examples in this book. What's going to help us hear correctly, hear more accurately the Holy Spirit? You heard on the film if you were here, or you've heard here before. You can make a mistake. We give you, a loving place where you can learn to hear the Holy Spirit. You can speak out prophecy over someone in a place that can come in and say, that was right on target. Or the person could say, wow, that just read my mail. Or they might say, I don't see it. That's completely off. And you go back and you ask Holy Spirit again and see if He says, well, you had that a little bit off on that one. And we learn how to hear the Holy Spirit better and better and better if we want to. How many times have we said to you personally or from the front, ask Holy Spirit? Well, what do you think about this, Pastor Bill, Pastor Mary Pat, leader at Frontline? What do you think? Well, ask Holy Spirit first. Talk to Him about this. This is something that I can add to the conversation, but you need to hear from Holy Spirit and respond to Him correctly.
You have to get past hearing your emotions. Get past hearing the logic of your mind. Get past hearing the flesh. You have to get past hearing the influence of the world. You have to get past believing lies in the enemy. But let's pray, because Holy Spirit wants you to hear Him. We'll pray with the person, bless them. Often they go to Holy Spirit in the humble quietness of their heart. Is there anything in me? Search me, God. Is there anything in me preventing me from hearing Your true voice? And they find their answer, because Holy Spirit then can come through, get past their mind, will, and emotions, get past the flesh, get past the world's influence, get past the lies of the devil, and He can help them. Now, the wise person, I'll tell you the wise person, they will go back, or they will go to a leader, they will go to someone that's been following Jesus for a long time, and tell them about that, what they've heard from Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, God will add a chapter through another person. He'll add confirmation. He'll add a slight adjustment. You could hear Holy Spirit correctly except for one little item. You say, well, that didn't happen to those apostles in the... Yes, it did. Peter was brought before a group and said, uh-oh, not quite on here. Peter! This is after the Holy Spirit came on him and he was doing all kinds of great things. People need to be willing for an adjustment. We all need to be willing for an adjustment. And that may be where the stuff comes in. We don't even see the rock there that's in front of us. We stumble over it. It's the truth of Jesus, and we're still stumbling over Jesus? We love Him. We worship Him. We praise Him. You can still stumble over the truth of Jesus if you're not clearly hearing from the Holy Spirit and willing to share that with the people that know you the best. The people that know you the best are the ones that should be your counselors. Not some stranger off at another church. Oh, well, they won't know anything about me and they'll be able to tell the best things about me. No, they won't. I'm just saying it. No, they won't. First of all, why are you running off to some other place to get counsel? Because you've stumbled over the truth. Jesus is your rock of offense. Because it's not His way to go do that. He hung out with His whole team outside. Walked with them, talked with them, close to them. In the church today, sometimes we hear, well, you don't want to get too close. You don't want to get too close. They walked with Jesus. They spent time with Jesus. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We need to be very close. Extremely close. Close enough that we can help one another if we stumble over something that's a rock of offense. How many remember the disciples that took off when Jesus started saying things they didn't understand? Eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. I'm out of here. This is a vampire group. And He's the head vampire. Because they didn't understand. They stumbled over communion. Communion. The close encounter with Jesus. Communion isn't just something where you come up and go, oh, yes, I remember Jesus. Oh, yes, Your blood. Okay, Your bread. Oh, I remember. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no. What are you supposed to do during communion? Yeah, let God search your heart. It's supposed to be a time of such close intimacy with us and the Lord. It's not just something we do because he said, do it. It's an encounter with the Lord. That opportunity for encounter is there. Some stumble over that. Oh, I don't want to ask God what I'm doing wrong. He already tells me enough of what I'm doing wrong. Why would I ask him? Folks, we need to ask him all the time. You need to encourage me to ask him. And I'll encourage you to ask him. We need to ask him all the time. What am I doing that doesn't please you? It's not a condemning thing like, oh, now I feel condemned because I'm doing things wrong all the time. It's more like he'll say, but guess what? You're a son of mine. You're doing this, but let's adjust that. But you're a son of mine. You have the inheritance of the kingdom. You're fully accepted by the beloved. You're in my family. He doesn't just stop with what we're doing that needs adjustment. He always adds encouragement and edification and so on and asks us to do the same thing. Are we ready with the clip? Any time? Okay. I want to show you someone that's offended at something very good. And maybe you've seen this on the internet. Something where a person is so offended at something good. Jesus offense. What did he do wrong? Oh, I stumbled over Jesus. He loved me completely and died for me. What? Why is that a rock of offense? Because love changes us. And some of us don't want to be loved in that way. We only want the love of affection and feelings, not the love of change. The love of Jesus changes us. That's why he can be a rock of offense. This Jesus we worship, this Jesus we love so much. Oh, but don't love me enough to change me, Jesus. Only let me feel the heebie-jeebies. Let me feel the Spirit as long as I don't have to do any of that stuff they were doing on the film. Come on. It's true. One of the first things I faced as a believer was, am I going to be a stumbling block? Am I going to stumble over Jesus and then become a stumbling block? Or am I going to learn from the mistakes of the New Testament? Those people in the New Testament are me and you. They're not just, you know, people that existed and historical figures. They're there to show us ourselves. They're the mirror. You hear about the mirror in James? They're the mirror. You look at Peter. Who has not put their foot in their mouth? Come on. I didn't see any hands that time. And who has spoken something strongly for Jesus? A revelation you've had. Come on. He did both. While he was in his process. All of us do. But do we want to be speaking more strongly for Jesus and more truth for Jesus? Or do we want to do more stumbling? That's the key, huh? And I think because you're here and you're willing to listen to me and you're not walking out right now to check a phone call, that you want more change in your life. And the change comes through the love of Jesus. And it's not, of course, just about the feelings. Feels good to be loved by God. In this worship, man, you can just be carried away in the love of God. But are we carried away in our repentance times to the same place that we are in our worship times? One of my big concerns is this. The more that we walk with Jesus, the longer we walk with Jesus, we should be the first ones on our faces. Not the last ones. Let me say it again. The longer we walk with Jesus, the more mature we are in Jesus, the quicker it should be that we come and are on our faces before God, that we are humbled before him. I'm contending for that for myself. I find myself going, well, of course I know that, you know, what that person's challenging me with. I don't really need to actually step forward and go on my knees and worship God because of that new truth in my life. You. That's what's breaking down right now. One of the things breaking down in this body is that attitude. It's going to be part of our past. Because we're going to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When He gives us a revelation, we're going to treasure it. And we're going to act on it. And part of the acting is, I need to repent that I didn't receive that revelation sooner. And I know that it was there. And I didn't want it from You, Jesus, because I would have to be responsible for it. Forgive me. Forgive me. Or I have not been after Your heart enough to get this revelation sooner, or whatever. We don't have to grovel before God and put our nose in the ground like that's what's going to please Him, but we do need to bow our hearts before Him. And so those that are the most mature should be the most sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Would you say that's right? So they would be the ones that would come down and come before the Lord when there's this time of Him coming in and giving His beautiful revelation to each. Oh, man, we're just drawn to the front. The more mature first, and the younger ones going, oh, that's where I need to be. I get it, because I see the older saints, the ones that have followed Jesus for a while up there. That's where I need to be. So my concern for the body of Christ is that Jesus can still be a stumbling block. Even though we say, yeah, we know what He did for us. If we're not willing to step past some of the attitudes that grow up as we continue to follow Him, some of the actual pride that grows up. I call it the Nebuchadnezzar disease. Now, if you don't know who he was, he was a Babylonian king during the time of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar, at one point, went out on the walls of Babylon. Some say they were 30 feet wide. Had a lot of walking room. And they had the hanging gardens off of them, which it was considered one of the seven wonders of the world back when they had seven, and now they have a whole bunch more. Well known throughout the world at that time, which communication wasn't that great, but everyone knew about the hanging gardens and the big, thick walls of Babylon. He went out on that wall and those hanging gardens, looked around, and he basically said this in front of God. Look how important I am. My majesty was the word he used. Look what I built. While the words were still in his mouth, he went crazy, wacko, nutso. Everything in his mind got warped. And he went out and wanted to eat grass. He apparently had long hair. His hair got crazy wild. He had a bad hair day for 7 years. He had a terrible, terrible diet for 7 years, eating grass. As the king, it started as the words were in his mouth about pride. Look what I built. Look how important I... And he went crazy. So we think, because of the love of God, we can't be warped like that. But if we leave out the fear of God and only receive the love of God, only receive the love of the Father, and not the fear of God in the sense that He deserves worship, He's awesome, we don't have to tremble in His presence, because we're accepted, But we do need to see his awesomeness, that he is holy. We add that to the love of the Father, and we have the proper balance. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay, yeah. We have to say, wow, God, you are so awesome. I don't want to stumble over anything that's Jesus. And some of these things, like this is are covered. This is a real rock under here. Not just a book I put out here. It's a real rock. But sometimes it's covered over, and we think, oh, I'm too wise to ever stumble over Jesus again because I love him so much. That's why we need to respond properly to the Holy Spirit. We need to ask all the different ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He doesn't just speak to us with a still small voice, does he? He'll sometimes speak to us through other people. God set it up that way so we would have unity, so we would have closeness in the body, that we wouldn't just be lone rangers out there going, oh, I'm following Holy Spirit. Now, you could get some of that from the movie if some people, those that want to be lone rangers, they could get that from the movie. Oh, all I got to do is, you know, grow a certain hairstyle and I could, you know, follow the Holy Spirit everywhere. It's good, but it's something better to be within community and doing that, where you can be checked on a little bit once in a while. And like, oh, are you really following Holy Spirit? And those of us that aren't afraid of that, we do that all the time. We call up Pastor Jose. We call up Mel Tari. We share back and forth. They're our sounding boards. Sometimes you're our sounding boards. You don't even know it. Share something with you. You share back. Ooh, wow. Holy Spirit. They don't even know what they're saying to me right now. It's important that we have that relationship within body. But if we are afraid of one another, ooh, Mike, you might control me, man. I'm not going to get too close to you. Now, I don't have that relationship with Mike. When we share, I hear his humble spirit. When I share, I'll have to ask him. Okay, let's show the clip. This is someone that's offended. This is what it looks like. Now, this is over something good. Maybe we can get the lights somehow.
Amaya's look happy. Amaya, are you happy you get to have another brother and sister?
What kind of baby is
that? I don't know. It might be a boy. It might be a girl.
Boys crying is even worse.
How do you know?
I know because when I saw a baby crying out of my school, because I just heard the crying and I was like, it's even worse than Amaya's crying.
Well, Trey, I don't know what to tell you about the crime. You just got to get used to it, okay?
Okay, and buy me some earplugs, too.
Buy you some earplugs? Okay.
And buy me some earplugs, too. This is exasperating! Now, I ask you this. Can this mother, without doing something unrighteous, can this mother change this? No, it's a gift of God. The baby is a gift of God, and yet someone's offended. Now I know I'm believing for that child that gets over it. When the gift of God actually shows up, oh, whoa! It won't be a rock of offense. It's going to be a blessing in their life. Now, I know some of you are starting to, the wheels are starting to turn. The person I talked to this week said, you give connect the dot sermons. I'm not sure whether I like that. I'm still working on that one, whether that works or not. There's nothing she can do to change that because it's the will of God. Anything righteous could she do? The child doesn't see it, but how many of us have been in that position where something so good we resisted it first? If you look at the second paragraph, I believe, on the true worshiper handout there, a true worshiper repents quickly and receives refreshing the refreshing presence of the Lord in ever-increasing measure. He is an intentional forgiver, allowing no root of bitterness to grow up within him, which could defile many. He earnestly desires to encourage and edify fellow believers while seeking to hear clearly and be led continually by the Holy Spirit in order to never resist, grieve, or quench the Spirit's empowering work within his heart. Resist, grieve, or quench. Believers can resist, grieve, or quench the Holy Spirit by how we approach whatever he's wanting to do in our lives. And we don't want that to be a stumbling block when he means for it to be a blessing. He means for us to grow. He wants to adjust us and change us through his love. Why would we resist anything from the Holy Spirit? You saw when people didn't resist last night. Man, they felt his presence for the first time. They received a healing. The one guy in India, his face alone showed it. You know, it was like, man! You could tell something happened with him. Because they weren't resisting. Maybe for the first time in their lives. We know what it is to resist. We know the results of that resisting. We should be happy to hear more and more from Holy Spirit and have it checked with the Word of God, the Spirit of God, again, because we might have heard it a little bit off. Check with fellow believers, those that are mature in the faith. How do you tell someone that's mature to share some of your most intimate workings of the Holy Spirit with? How have they lived their life? Like this? Or like this? You know, are they constantly climbing with a few little ripples along the way? Or are they doing this? If our flesh says and our mind says, you'll get an easier answer if you go to someone like this. They'll be right there with you. They'll act concerned. They'll listen to you. Someone going like this, they could never understand you because they are, you know, above you, and they'll think they're above you, and they'll want to somehow impress you, or, you know, the things that go on in our minds. We have to make sure we lay those down. You know, dying to self, that's what that's about. It's not just when we come to church and we hear, you know, a great testimony, or we're in some worship and we're just drawn to his presence. Oh, I'm going to die to myself today. Paul says, I die daily. And what he means by that is, in order to die daily, you have to die hourly. In order to die hourly, you have to die minute by minute. And in order to die minute by minute, you have to die second by second. If you only die once every 5 years in Jesus, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be far off from what he wants for your life. Oh, I died once, 1985. I remember the day very clearly that I listened to the Holy Spirit and I followed what he wanted me to do. Right after that, I was too afraid to do anything else, so I've been working on that one since 1985. Should be an ongoing conversation with Holy Spirit. And sometimes, I'm telling you, part of that conversation comes from other believers that care about your life. I'm telling you, that's the truth. Jesus followed that example with his disciples. Here's two people that reacted to the presence of the Holy Spirit working through Jesus: Judas and Peter. Both on his team. Both were at the major events in the ministry life. Two different reactions. Now, you don't just follow Jesus around unless you're willing to learn something. Unless you're willing to bow your knee in some way, shape, or form. But if you carry something in your heart that becomes a fence that you don't really want all that Jesus has for you, it'll end up catching up with you if it stays with you. It did with Judas. Something in there was haywire. Either, possibly, he was greedy. So greedy because he took care of the finances. Or, he wanted Jesus to be what he wanted him to be. And that was, come on, get rid of these Romans. We're tired of this oppression. Maybe it was some other things in his heart. Maybe it was a combination. But it stayed in his heart. That's what the searching that I was talking about several weeks ago. Letting God search our hearts, not just us. Put the searchlight of heaven on our hearts. Not just our own little searchlight that we bring out. You know, we try to find the smallest light we can find to put on our hearts sometimes. But let the whole floodlight of heaven look at our hearts. Where are you really? Not what you present, but where are you really? Let heaven's searchlight come on our hearts. How do you know if you're using your own little flashlight? If you avoid certain people. Come on. You're using your own little flashlight if you avoid certain people in the body of Christ. It's true. You can smile when I say that. Because they're part of that sometimes. Leaders are supposed to watch over the sheep. They're supposed to help. Believe me, it takes a lot of work to help. So for any of our leaders, they're stepping up and saying, I want to sacrifice to help, sacrifice sleep, sacrifice finances, sacrifice my time, sacrifice my goals in some cases, so that I can serve the body. That's the way I've looked at leaders since I became a believer, and it's benefited my life so much. I never looked at them like they were, you know, crowding me, man. What are you doing? What are you coming so close for? What do you want to ask those questions you ask, you know? I needed questions from Roger Van Orden, Pastor so-and-so and Pastor so-and-so in the past. I needed those questions. If they knew something was going on in my heart and they cared to jump in there and help me with something they might see as a little bit off, why wouldn't I want that? Of course, we have to step up to that. So those disciples following around with Jesus, two different reactions. Peter, you know, foot and mouth disease, the whole thing. But sometimes he, you know, you are the, you know, Son of the Living God. He did both in his process. Jesus says, you'll deny me. Do you know that after Jesus said that, he said, no way. It was after Jesus told him, no way. He said it before and after, actually. No. And it wasn't even 24 hours that went by, and he had denied Jesus three times. He went out and wept bitterly, which means it was more than remorse. But he didn't know what to do with it, because he didn't have Holy Spirit living inside of him. Holy Spirit hadn't fell yet. So he went around with, you know, a repentant heart, but not knowing how to express it exactly. And then, you know, all the events happen, and Jesus raises from the dead, and, you know, oh my. He still hasn't had a chance to express his repentance. But then, after the resurrection, Jesus has breakfast with Peter. John 21. Breakfast. They get some fish on the fire. Jesus takes him to the side. Some of the other disciples were there. Takes him to the side. Do you love me? He goes through an expression of his repentance. Yes, I do. Of course I do. Yes, I do. I love you. I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. That whole thing. Peter, after that point, was a different guy. His repentance was lived out. And his sin was covered. His foolish decisions were covered. Because he repented fully. You can tell by what happened with his life after that. And he still needed adjustments along the way. But the major sin of his life, the denial of Jesus, was taken care of through his repentant heart. What happened with Judas? Judas betrayed. Judas came in. And at the Last Supper is pointed out as the betrayer. And Jesus says, Jesus doesn't say, stop it. Quit. He says, do what you're going to do quickly. Sends him out. Jesus knew he was a betrayer and sent him out. Go. He knew what he was going to do even. But it's not going to bother the plan of God. It's even his disobedience is weaved into the plan of God. God's so big. God's so amazingly over everything. Judas goes out, takes the money, goes through the process of seeing Jesus arrested, tries to throw back the money, has remorse, it says. Remorse. Far different than repentance. Remorse says, oh, sorry about that. You know, it's the kid that the mom has that says, now tell your brother. You know, the mom says, tell your brother you're sorry. 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 No, say it with your whole heart. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They don't get it. You know, it's not there. It's not true. It's enforced. He might be a little bit sorry because he sees, you know, he's got a cut on his leg, and if he's a pretty big brother, he might come after him after the mom's gone. Remorse is not very powerful.
Sorry.
Sorry. If we do that with God, it doesn't take care of that offense in our heart, does it? Doesn't take care of that item that needs to be extracted from our life in order for us to hear Holy Spirit properly. So what was the result of that? He comes up with his own plan for paying for it. I know what I'll do. I'll go out and commit suicide. Now, 12 disciples, Jesus, not us, Jesus was in charge of 12 disciples. and one of them committed suicide. He's the most powerful being in the universe, and yet one of his team was so deceived, they committed suicide. That puts the fear of God in me. I mean, the right kind of fear of God in me. Wow, I want to be checking 12 times with Holy Spirit before I think I've got everything straight and this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to check with other leaders. I'm going to check with people on things that God is calling us to do as a ministry and so on. See what they think about it. Sounding boards. Have leaders around that we can be sounding boards with one another. And then we're going to have that much more of a safety net to go where God wants us to go and do what God wants us to do. How do we get to these nations? Listening to Holy Spirit. How do we actually make it to these nations? Following through on it and trusting Him to get us there when it looks impossible. That's what I want for each of us. What looks impossible that Holy Spirit calls us to, we don't start using our mind, will, and emotions to figure it out. We say, I want the gift of God. I want the gift of God. It doesn't look like this could happen. It looks impossible. But He promised it. I want the gift of God. I hear Holy Spirit. I want the gift of God. I want His best. I don't want to be whining against something so wonderful. I don't want to be tripping over as a rock of offense the truth that Jesus has for me, the gifts that Jesus has for me, the ministry He has for me, the joy He has for me, by something that I came up with in my mind, my will, my emotions, my flesh, my listening to the world or listening to the lies of the enemy. And I'm only going to just go on my path. That was Judas. And what did he end up doing? Committing suicide. What? He must have believed a lot of lies. Well, he believed one. Jesus wasn't worth listening to. In that instance of, I'm going to the cross. I'm the eternal one that's going to save the world. Now? No. Later? Yeah. Judas wanted to come up with the plan of Jesus for Jesus. Doesn't work, does it? Doesn't work for our lives when we try to come up with our own plan. Just doesn't work. You end up in the lies of Hinduism. They're down at the river Ganges, burning bodies with beautiful cloth around them on tall, looks like a dock up in the air. And they put enough branches across it. They put the body up there. It looks beautiful. They burn it, throw whatever's left out into the Ganges. The Ganges is a holy river. The river is supposed to do something special for them. George Harrison went there and had his, he didn't go there, but his ashes went there and they were spread on the Ganges. So what's my message? Don't follow the Beatles. I don't care how many records they sold. My heart this morning is for you to hear the Holy Spirit accurately, fully, all the time. That you make the choice of Peter to have up-to-date repentance. He repented as soon as he saw his sin. And it was more than remorse. He wept bitterly. He had a reaction, unlike the child with the mother that goes, I'm sorry. He wept bitterly. And when he had his opportunity to reconnect with Jesus after the resurrection in an intimate way, he presented himself. I love you. I love you. I love you. It took care of the three denials. I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't know you. It's that kind of open-hearted repentance by mature believers recognizing they need it every second of every day. They need to have that attitude of repentance that will make the difference of whether you reach your destiny or not, whether you hear accurately Holy Spirit or not. Father, we want that. We want that for your people. That concern of listening to emotions, to the mind and the logic, listening to our own little kingdom, our own will be given over to you as a sacrifice of love. I love you, Jesus, so much. I want to hear you accurately. And I'm glad I'm in a place that I can make some mistakes, Lord. But I want to be more on than ever. No lies for me, God. Let that be the cry of our hearts this morning, Lord. This afternoon, if it's nighttime already. God, cry of our hearts. I want to hear you clearly, accurately. I want to do that in community. I want the safety net of love that you've provided for me, not just to throw it away. Thank you, God. I offer myself to you to hear and respond as Peter did, and not respond as Judas did. Thank you, Father. You hear the cries of hearts today, and you're responding to us. We see it in worship, more and more humility, more and more risk. Thank you, God. We see it in ministry, more and more humility, more and more risk. Thank you, God. You're producing that through us hearing Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We want more of it. More of hearing you accurately. Not stumbling over you as the rock of offense. And not being stumbling blocks ourselves to others. Because we want to hear what we want to hear instead of hearing what you're actually saying. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We receive from your heart today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.